What's up, race fans? You have just entered the right place to talk about everything racing and go for another ride on the In the Groove podcast with your host, Slammin' Sam Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, strap in, don't go anywhere.
What's up, everybody? Happy New Year. Welcome to 2021. This is the first episode, and you know, I decided sitting here on a Monday, the guest that's coming on today, I just kind of decided let's do something live, let's do something different while we're celebrating holidays and everything that's coming up. So why not just do a live feed with you guys, talk to you guys, and see how it's all going. All right, everybody, let's just kind of get into it. Let's talk about it, see what's going on. Like I said, this is season two. It's our first episode of season two of In the Groove podcast. Thank you guys that have listened, liked, commented, everything along the journey. It's been fun. And if you are watching this, or if you do stumble upon this, please go ahead and like and share this and get it out to the masses. But first things first, I want to introduce a friend of mine that's on the show tonight. Unfortunately, he is a Chiefs fan, but they're doing pretty good right now. But he is a driver in the NODAC area. He drives an IMCA stock car. So without further ado, I want to bring on my friend, Keith Maddox. Keith, what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Got back from a long weekend of ice fishing.
Long weekend of ice fishing here up in the North Dakota area. How's that going? How did it go for you?
It was slow, but it was fun.
So the bite, relaxing. The bite wasn't on, or I mean, what, you know,
no,
what was going on?
It was
on?
Just slow. We only caught three fish really the whole weekend. So it was pretty slow.
How many did you catch though? Let's be honest.
Well, three of them for sure.
You caught all three?
Then my brother caught one and my buddy caught one. So okay. Really caught like five of them together, but only kept three of them.
All right, so Keith, just do this for me. I want you to introduce yourself, tell the people of In the Groove podcast who you are and your racing background.
I'm Keith Maddox from Ray, North Dakota. I run an IMCA stock car. I started 10 years ago, started on the hobby stocks, ran that for just about 5 years, and then got into a stock car now. Slowly doing that for the past 5 years after that. So it's been pretty good for our deal with racing and everything. Actually, this year we got my middle kid, my daughter Haley, got her a slingshot for this coming season. So we'll see how all that goes. It'll be interesting because she's actually wrecked my golf cart and hit the garage with it. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring that up, but I mean, that is something to talk about, right? You did for Christmas, your daughter wanted to, you know, follow the footsteps of your brother and yourself and get into a race car, and now she's in one. And I remember that day, you know, seeing it on, I was there when I saw you, and you're like, yeah, she wants to get a car, but she's running into everything. So what are kind of your expectations for 2021, you know, getting her into a slingshot and getting her the chance to kind of hopefully will a car better than you do?
Well, it'd be interesting. I just hope she doesn't wreck, because her nickname is Wreck-It Ralph Felix. So hopefully get that put on the race car for a little decal. And I mean, she should do good. We've been hitting the go-kart track and she's actually been improving on the go-karts. So we'll see how well it goes.
And, you know, she's actually going to be probably one of the first girls into that category, especially up here in the NODAC area. I know there's probably some Canadian girls in that class. So, I mean, I've seen her around the track and she's just like you. She's a, you know, a tough cookie. Maybe, you know, if she's there later on, we can ask her a few questions. But going into it, like, do you think, you know, seeing the lack thereof of, you know, junior cars, as I would call it, or slingshots, how do we get more people and more young kids into this sport? How do we get them more involved? Did you freeze there? I think we may have lost Keith. We'll see if he comes back on here. Looks like his screen kind of froze. But my question there was getting more younger people into the sport. How do we, you know, grow and continue this sport and do that? I've talked about it numerous of times with different guests here on the show and different things that have gone on. But we definitely like to see what's going on. Let's see if Keith is back. I think he's still frozen. But we definitely would like to see, you know, the sport continue to grow. The more younger kids that we can get into it, the more younger adults even to get into it, you know. And I always mention this to anyone that has the opportunity to mentor someone. Someone that you see is involved or likes to get into the sport, help them out or let them help you out in the pits. Bring them in and, you know, kind of show them the ropes of what you guys go to. Bring them to your shop and show them like, hey, this is what it takes week in and week out to get that car down to the track. And that's not just in the circle track market. That's in the drag racing market and to the any other market of racing. I know there's a lot of people that do dirt track racing and mud bogs or anything like that. Looks like Keith just popped back in, so we're going to add him back to the screen. That Ray North Dakota interweb must not be working too well, or it's that Chiefs gear that you're working is kind of throwing red flags for everybody. But Keith, the question to you was, how do we continue to grow the sport and bring more younger people into the sport?
That's a good question. I just say try to get more races for our little kids up there, getting more of like a go-kart stuff going for them, because like down in Jamestown and Fargo area, they got go-karts for the kids, and they can start those at, I think it's like 5 or 6 or something, and race them up till they even got dog classes down there for go-karts in Fargo area. So I think if we got something like that going up here in the area, that really would really help, you know, push our actual racing community bigger in that sense of it.
Exactly there. And then, you know, we're speaking of all this racing stuff. Did you get what you wanted for Christmas, or was it mainly for your daughter to get a car?
It was mainly for my daughter to get a car, but I did get a couple cool Christmas gifts. I mean, the wife did surprise me once, I guess, with a really good one. We got to go down for a Chiefs game on New Year's Eve there. And so, I mean, that was a good, I mean, I enjoyed that, even though we lost. But obviously, there's no starters, you know, so they already wrapped everything up for the season. But it was still, it was an experience. I mean, I got to do that, so she kind of spoiled me this year.
There you go. Awesome, awesome. So what are your 2021 plans for your car, for your crew? What's kind of the game plan for you guys?
Going in 2021, I might be just kind of have a limited schedule for this year. I might just race Williston, because actually last summer there, or after the mod tour, I started going back to college to get a different degree to help me further my career up a little higher. So that's kind of been taking up a lot of the time. You know, it's one class every 5 weeks, but it's constant 5 weeks every time. It's get done with one class and into another one, and then trying to shuffle with two race cars now, and then you still got family time you got to get done, and then you got the work and stuff like that. So I mean, it might be just a limited schedule for me this year.
So what tracks do you think, or what are going to be your, I guess, main tracks that you're going to hit, since you're saying there will be a limited schedule with everything that you got going on?
For sure, obviously I'll hit Williston, because I'm only 30 miles from Williston. I mean, that's my home track. And maybe for like doubleheaders, I'm going to try to go over to mine, at least for the doubleheaders, and then maybe Dickinson if they have one. And then if they open up the border north of me, that's only 80 miles to Canada up there to that racetrack. So that might be go up there too during the doubleheaders, but I just might mainly get stick around Williston. Maybe we'll go further. I'll probably leave my car at home. So if you see a big toter pulling up with a slingshot in it, and that's it, I hope they bring my daughter out some more to get her some more seat time with it.
So I've got a question coming in here from a really good friend of mine. I've got one guy here. This is the American Hot Rod Entertainment. What's up? What's up? He's just a friend of mine. He's saying, hey, what's up? Then I've got my co-host, The Monday morning racer, James Lee Craft. He's asking, what are these slingshots that we're referring to? So, Keith, I'll let you answer that question and let him know pretty much what we're talking about.
If you look up, unlike Facebook, Aaron, if you look up Slingshots by Tobias, they're out in Pennsylvania. He's the one that started this a lot back in the, I think it was back in the 90s, late 90s. And the best thing about the slingshots is he's a guy that builds them. And the jig has not changed from the day he started. You got to buy the motors from him, which there is a Briggs & Stratton, pretty much a Briggs & Stratton lawnmower motor. And they got a junior class that runs a single carburetor, single barrel carburetor. And then you got the senior class to run a two barrel carburetor. And they run a methanol. And they have like a little, kind of like a modified body to it with wings, kind of side wings that come up on it. So they're just pretty much a kid class up to, I know they got up to outlaws and adult classes with that stuff with them.
So
they're for our junior class out here, they're averaging at least a top fifth hobby stock, IMC hobby stock out here. So, I mean, they're booking out there. They're into the 50s a lot of time on the straightaways with them.
Yeah, so for anyone else that doesn't kind of understand that, they are more, I would say, more like your midgets, your quarter midgets or anything like that, that you've been watching out kind of near the Chili Bowl or any events like that that you've been watching. But for right now, we are going to take our first break and thank one of our sponsors. Mad Bro Motorsports, located North Hill, Minot, North Dakota, the leading performance and parts store. If there's anything you need for your hot rod, give Slam and Sam and the gang a call. 701-720-7996. Again, that is Mad Bro Motorsports. 701-720-7996.
On the way to being free.
Can't thank Mad Bro Motorsports enough. That is me, myself, 701-720-7996. All your performance parts, gear, safety equipment, anything you may need, please let us know how we can help you, how we can, you know, get anything that you may need for the upcoming race season. I know Keith himself, he definitely and the Maddox race team will be having some stickers on a new slingshot. And Keith, you know, they buy quite a few things from us, so we can't thank them enough for that. But Keith, I gotta ask, and this is probably that question, and you're looking at me like, what the heck?
Hold on. Before you get on, you're one guy's wondering what a slingshot looks like here. I've even pulled up on my phone so you can see it. That's what they kind of look like.
Yep. There you go. That's actually the one in, is that yours?
Yep.
There you go. What number? Yep, is she going to rock the 18 or what? You know, what number is she going to rock?
No, she's going to rock the 28 just like her dad. So,
hello from Puerto Rico. We appreciate you. I hope to see you. I'm pretty sure we met at the Door Slammer race, so I'm hoping to see you there. And that's something I know, Keith, we got to talk about it. I am a diehard drag racer, and you give me so much crap about it. But what do you think? Okay, hey, what do you think about the smoke coming over and driving a dragster now? I mean, what do you think about that? He's done great things in pretty much everything that he's touched, right? So how do you feel now that he's, you know, switching sides of the track? I mean, this is a controversy that we got to talk about. What do you think?
I didn't hear about that, so you have to kind of give me some more context.
So
I didn't know he was doing that.
So Tony has gone to Frank Holly's drag school. He's pretty much tested in a car, and there hasn't been official word saying that he's going to come out and do it for sure, but it's leaning in that hard direction right now of, hey, this may happen. So how do you feel about him converting from now the dirt and going down to the pavement?
I'm guessing something he has to do because he's, like you said, he's done everything else and he's been good at it. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm not really against drag racing, Sam. I just, I like going in circles because there's a lot more cars next to you when you're doing it. More challenge.
I'm just going to say this. I think he saved the best for last.
Okay, sure. I agree with that.
I mean, come on now. Okay, let's say slingshots have what, about 750 horsepower, right? Those 410s, about seven...
All the sprint cars?
Yeah. About 700, yep. 750 to 800 horsepower. Okay, so he's driven one of those. Check.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he's driven a late model.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's the top of the game right there. 700. Now he's going to something that potentially has 10,000 horsepower. 10,000. I don't know. If you're listening to this right now, please drop a comment so we can interact with you also. But we want to know, did the smoke save the best for last? Because we're going to argue about this.
Yeah.
Just like we can argue about your driving.
It depends what he's going to run. If he's running the big drag strip stuff, then I agree with that. He probably saved the best for last. But he's just going to do the smaller version, the downgraded version, then it's a little different.
What do you mean? What are you trying to say? So you're saying our sportsman racers like we have here in, you know, the NODAC area and stuff like that, you're saying that's the watered-down version?
Well, I'm not saying it's the watered-down version. I mean, it could be better if you had a longer track, I guess, to go faster.
Oh, man. I get it, Keith. Hey.
What's the fastest you gone there, Sam? Sam, what's the fastest you gone?
I am a kind of what we call a grudge racer, a no-time racer, so I don't say how fast or how slow I go. I just get down the track. That's all I say.
Come on, Sam. How fast? Just give me this one time.
I won't give you my fastest pass, but I can say in the car that I used to own, I've got 110 mile an hour in that car.
Okay. 110. Okay. No, the fastest I've gone so far, and this was true, this is when I first got into stock car, we're averaging 80 mile an hour around Williston.
Okay.
The circle with 20 other cars.
Whoa.
20 other cars.
Though. I get that. I'm not saying anything about circle track racing, but what I can say is Williston is not a complete circle. It's more of a D. If you look at it.
The back
is kind of straight, but then the front is more of a D. So you guys are picking up a lot more speed than, say, like a Minot track or something like that. I don't know what the track times compare from Minot to Williston, but I'm pretty sure you guys are a little bit faster in Williston than you are in Minot.
Yeah, we are, because there's no straightaways in Williston. It's just pretty much your turning.
So, but you got to think, you guys are getting, you know, an 8-lap head start to get up to 80 mile an hour. it takes you guys a few laps. Because, I mean, let's be real. We've all seen the stock cars. And I'm pretty sure there's one guy that's going to listen to this, one of your really good friends. They won't let his son drive one of those because of how dangerous it is.
Well, I kind of think his son might be quicker, so that's probably why he's scared to lose to his kid.
Who is that guy that you're speaking of? I mean,
Roland Rob Stenvold.
Grandpa Rob Stenvold.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, great guy. Great old transmission shop guy.
Yep.
But, yeah, he won't let his son drive one because, his other son, Taylor, he's in a sport mod, so, you know.
Yep.
Who knows if he moves down? So out of those three, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and you're going to talk about your own buddy. Out of those three, if Evan was driving, Rob was driving, and Taylor was driving, all in the same class, who do you think would be the fastest?
Oh, I'm guessing probably Evan because he knows what he's doing with the race car, and his dad likes to change stuff too much. Doesn't leave it alone and just try to race the car. So I bet Evan would probably do pretty good in a stock car.
I would honestly, I would really like to see Evan in a car. I think that there's some great things that that kid can do, especially with one of his friends right now. He's got a friend, I forget the guy's name, but he helps out Chase Conway and helps out their program. And I think they're really doing some great things with that program. And I think he, you know, he's a smart kid. And I think that, you know, there could be some really improvement there with having him on there. But we're not going to talk too much about everyone else's racing career. We're gonna dive a little.
I do got a story, though.
Okay. I'll let, hey, it's all good for stories.
When I first met Rob Stenvold, he just bought, I think he bought a Johnson car, big Johnson car, and he brought it back up here to Nodak and raced it. That's the first time I met him. By the end of the night, I was so pissed off at him because I'd come underneath of him and then he'd cut the corner and chop me. Or he just, you know, just kind of get in the way at that time because I was feeling pretty good in the stock car. Well, now we're the best friends and we always go up to a shop in Minot, which is the best place to have my Bush lattes up there. And I always get in trouble for my wife, but I always blame it on Rob, so I'm okay on that part of it. But that's the first time I met him. I thought he was just a prick at that first time. Well, then now we're good buddies. I mean, he helps me on my car. He helps me opens up his shop when I'm in mine up. I need to work on it. Looks out my gears for me. Checks over the tranny what happens off season and all that stuff. And he's just an over good guy. I mean, I even got my own bedroom at his house now, which I got to make my sign up there and put Keith's room and nobody allowed. But yeah, we just good family friend now.
Yeah, that whole family, I go up to the good old Bullet Transmission, you know, every once in a while and just check on the boys, see how they're doing. And you know, like I said, great guys, great people. If you ever need anything, and this is not a paid sponsorship, I can tell you this, and I'm going to do this. This is not a paid sponsorship, for sure. But if you ever need your transmission or anything worked on, please give Rob Stenvold and the gang up at Bullet Transmission a call. They do, like I said, great work. They work on my personal stuff and friend stuff. So, yeah, that is not a paid sponsorship. But with that being said, we will break to another sponsor. All right, what's up, everybody? We've all been in the shop, and we have those tools that we just don't like to use. Well, I've got a solution for that. Go over to powerbuilt.com and use product code MADBRO15 at checkout and save 15% while you're doing it. I mean, it's easy. I'm talking high quality and durable tools. Lifetime warranty. So if you break it, it breaks, or just something happens, you send it back. No questions asked. Proven performance. I'm talking people in the NHRA and everywhere else are using these tools. So why don't you go over to powerbuilt.com right now, use product code 15 at checkout and save yourself 15%. Again, product code MADBRO15, save 15%. Yes, Powerbuilt Tools. Even when you go on their site and you see their already low prices, you're still going to save 15% on top of that. We cannot thank them for jumping on board still for the 2021 race season. And, you know, can't say anything bad about Dez and the crew. Maybe we should have Dez on so she can show you guys some of these tools someday. And like I said, we're trying this new live feed. But Keith, we're coming back to you with some really, really, really good questions here. Your race season.
Okay.
There was one race where you're really doing good, and then the next race you're not so hot. The car's changing up, switching up. So what in the 2020 race season kind of changed for you? Did you have a different program, or what was that all about?
Well, a lot of it actually started back in 2019. My brother took a break from racing stock car because he's trying to get a new car, and a bunch of other stuff came up, so he had to take a break for a little bit, but he's been kind of just ranching on the car. It's the new crew chief there. He's just changing stuff and doesn't really tell me what he does to it. He just says, race, we'll try this. We'll try this. We'll do this. See if it works. And just the last 2 years has just been clicking. And 2019, I had a pretty good year. I was up and took third in Estevan. Had a good night up there, good year up there in 2019. Williston, I kind of struggled in 2019, but in mine, that was when I did go there, I did pretty good. And then this past year, I just finally started clicking. And, you know, I did blow up two motors this 2020 season, but it's all part of the racing deal. But I finally put my brother's motor in that he won a feature with back in 2016, July 3rd in Williston. Well, I put that motor in and I went out and won a feature finally with it. So, and then it finally blew up. The last race of the season for me. So
how does that feel knowing like that your brother is your crew chief? Most people it's a friend, you know, or something like that. You and your brother have battled in the racing community for a while. You guys, you know, when I first met you guys were both racing. So what is that like to know that the person, first of all, that's your brother. You've grown up with him. You've known him your whole life. So now he's the person that you're trusting and getting you around the track and down the track. How does that feel week in and week out to know that you've got, you know, your best friend per se, other than probably your wife, you know, wrenching on your car?
It actually feels pretty good. Cause I'm kind of a picky person when it comes to my race car, cause I'm only behind the wheel driving it. I mean, he has a mechanic background like I do. So that's why I kind of feel like I can trust him. Make sure the bolts are tight, you know, stuff like that. Just, I know he's going to do it the right way. That's how we grew up, and we both started this racing thing 10 years ago. So, and just having that extra security, you know, that I don't have to worry about something falling off, a shock bolt falling off, and then a shock hanging there, or anything like that. And it just, that, to me, it's just that trust for my brother, because I know he's not going to screw it up, because he knows how I get when something stupid like that falls off. I get a little pissy with him, so.
So then, you know, for me coming down to Williston last year, yeah, it seems like it's been a while. But in 2020, we came down and watched you guys race. And having that, you know, like you said, your brother there, but not just your brother, you know, your sister-in-law and your wife and your kids, everyone's there in the pits. You guys are wrenching on the cars, working on the cars. You had your buddies come down from up north there. I'm not going to say where, so hopefully we don't get anyone in trouble or anything with all the border crossings and whatnot. But, you know, how is that family atmosphere? You know, we talked about that a little bit with your daughter racing, but now having them in the pits and having everyone there, do you guys always travel together as a family, or is it just on occasions?
No, we usually travel all the time together. It's either Kevin's either driving the truck and trailer up to Minot, and I'm just taking my wife's car up there, especially in the doubleheader. We have, you know, a vehicle to get around with. But we usually travel together. There's times where Kevin, I think, is 20, had it been 2016 or no, 2017, 2018, when they first had the Conway Memorial in Bonneville. Kevin called me up at 3 o'clock. He goes, I'm off work. I'll be at the house at 4. Let's go. So we hopped in the motor and took off and went racing for the weekend. Went up there and spent the night and raced, and things went down to Minot the next night and raced again. So it just, we always try to travel together. Obviously, that's why I bought the setup we have now, because I did have a dually pickup with 53-foot trailer, but we want some living quarters for the kids. If they get bored or get hot, they go sit in the toter and watch TV. And so it's nice having it. You can always try to do it as a family.
If there's anyone that you, speaking of all the family stuff, if there's anyone that you make sure that you say anything to or give knucks to or anything that you do, who is that last person, I guess, that you're saying something to before you go on the racetrack?
My little kid, my little son, Riker. He's always at the window. You want to give me knuckles or high five and tell me good luck. And then when I... Even when I come in from like a heat race and I actually do good, like took second, even if I win a heat race, oh, Dad, you won. Congratulations. You know, he's right there and stuff. And then my nephew, when we blew up that last night in Williston there, he was at my door. He looked at me, just gave me a glare and just kind of cussed at me and said, you broke it. I said, well, that's the way it goes, buddy. It has like 80 nights on it. It wasn't going to last forever. So.
And speaking of that, I didn't want to bring up the blow up yet, but when that happens, you know, you're running good, you guys are, You guys were trucking along there fairly good. You know, I talked to you guys when you first put that. You're like, well, we don't know how long it's going to last. And you came out there and, yeah, that was in Minot. You guys ran it. And you're like, we don't know what's going to happen. We'll see.
Yep.
And when you keep, you know, progressing with something that's, you know, been proven, a proven combo, and you know it's on borrowed time, do you race that differently than you would, you know, something that's brand new? Or is it once we're strapped in, we're ready to go and we're balls to the wall?
No, I just kind of, once it's strapped in, on balls to the walls deal. Because like my last one, that first, that one I blew up beginning of the season this year, the 2020 season there, it had like just almost 30 nights on it and it's let like go. So I mean, they go anytime. You get those guys in the modifies with the crate motors and it'll pass dyno and they get it back to their shop and put it in and it might last the night and blow up. Might even make it through practice. Who knows? You know, it's something that we take, not really, just, I guess we take with a tablespoon of salt there kind of thing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. They just race it and go. Hopefully it doesn't happen though, because stock car motors are kind of getting spendy nowadays, but.
I'll just buy it, if you can, buy a crate and just put it in there.
Some days I wish we could, but then it'd be this another closer class, I guess. That's why I like stockers, because on any given night, anybody can win. You got the Flores with Minot. You know, they're good competition against. I grew up watching Matt Mike Hagen and then the Mullet, Jordan Boyce. You know, those guys were awesome, racing their modifieds and their Midwest mods and all those, you know, those other classes they had, and now I get to race against Mad Mike, and then I race against Jordan Boyce. So I'm kind of hoping there's one more guy I like to race against, and I think if his oldest son would probably buy him a stock car, it could happen, is that big John Flory. I like to race against him at least once or twice in a stock car. That way I can check it off my bucket list.
And so, yeah, I was going to ask about that next is, you know, the names that we have here in the North Dakota area. You have your Jordan Boyce, like you said. You have your Mad Mike Hagans, you have the Flory father and son there. So what is that like, knowing that any given week, any given night, you know, on a weekend, that you're racing some of the toughest competitors in the IMCA, I'm going to say it, in the IMCA ranks? What is that like, knowing that these guys are going to Arizona, these guys are driving down to, you know, Iowa and different places like that to race? You know, like I said, right now you've got Rob, you know, he was racing in Arizona. You've got Brett, and I know I'm going to mess this up, the Wozniacki. You know, you've got guys like that are going to Boone and going to different tracks. Does that make you feel like, hey, if I do venture out of the North Dakota area, that I'm ready to go? I've tasted what it's going to be like somewhere else.
Yeah, I can agree with that, because I have. I've been down to Frostbuster when I first got my medieval stock car. I think it was my second year of racing. I moved up, got a different class or different chassis, and ran down to Boone, Iowa for the Frostbuster, race one night in Oskaloosa on that big half mile down there. Then the rest of it rained out. Then we loaded up and went over to Salina, Kansas, and raced for 2 days and came home. So been down to Boone, Iowa. It's a different competition. It does make you feel better. And you come back to North Dakota and you race against pretty much the same caliber of competition up here. So that's, I mean, I wish a lot of the guys would come up on that tour from the stock cars from like Iowa and those guys, the big guys like Nichols and the bigger name ones that are out there traveling this around their state, come up and race against some of us. Because I think our class, our competition up here for us North Dakota boys, I think it's pretty good.
And if you could, I guess this is a double-headed question here for you, but if you can idolize one person and drive like one person, who would you say, I guess, your biggest idol in your racing career has been? And then who is your favorite? Like, if you could drive like someone else, who would that be?
Idol part, I'm not really. I guess I'd pretty much look up really any of those mod drivers that have been around since I was a little kid watching. I like, they were fun to watch. Any of those guys, like John Flory, Mad Mike Hagan, Jordan Boyce, Hank Berry, Johnson, Pfeiffer. I just enjoyed watching those guys race because I was thought, you know, wow, they're in the modified and they're actually doing pretty good up here and stuff. And I just liked them all. So I don't really have an idol. I just like pretty much everybody. As far as the person I like to drive like, some days I wonder with these modified guys dropping down to these stock cars, they kind of have like a better advantage, a better advantage for racing because they drive a stock car, drive modified. In my eyes, is way different. But these guys like Mad Mike Hagan, when he gets into a stock car, heck, that first year he's in a stock car, he just drove the wheels off the damn thing. So I just think that part of that reason is because of his modified days. Just it makes you, I don't know, think of something different. You just maybe picture the track way different or picture the slightest little hole between two cars and it fits through there and you go. So I guess I'd like kind of like drive like Mad Mike Hagan if I could drive any better.
A lot of you guys may be asking or wondering what this t-shirt is that's up there. It says, "Make Circle Track Racing Great Again." If you are looking, if you are in the pits or if you're ever wondering why you see a couple of guys wearing these shirts, that's everyone that is a Circle Track driver that is been on In The Groove podcast. They will be rocking one of these beautiful Make Circle Track Racing Great Again shirts. So there will be a few guys in the 2021 race season. And Keith, that does include you for getting one of these, for coming on, especially this episode. It is episode 1 of season 2 of In The Groove podcast. So super excited about that. But is your daughter around? I think we need to ask her some questions about what's going on for the 2021 race season. Or is she playing? Hey, I don't want to interrupt her if she's playing. She's got a couple of months until her superstarness, you know, does come into effect. But, you know, if she's around.
My luck, she's probably sleeping because that ice fishing kind of must have wore her out. We stayed up pretty late a couple of times. I'll see if I can find her. We'll see. A shy person, so we'll see if she talks.
No, I mean, if not, that's totally fine. We just want to definitely ask her some questions, as you know, she will be coming into, you know, the racing world. So why not break her in the right way on here and In The Groove? Just got a couple of questions and see how excited she would be for the 2021 race season. That's really rapidly approaching us here.
Yeah, I know she was pretty excited because she almost started crying when she seen the car in the garage for Christmas. So
yeah, I mean, I saw the video of it, and I mean, I think that's one of the best, you know, Christmas gifts that one could ask for, especially when, you know, she's excited about it. She's seen you do it, and it's really nice to see that next, you know, generation wanting to take over the sport and continue the sport. So if she is around, if you can grab her, that would be cool. If not, we totally understand. Oh, there she is right there. Hey, what's up? Uh-oh, did you mute? Keith, you muted yourself. There you go.
I muted myself for some reason.
Gosh, how you work in the oil field, but you can't figure out these computers is beyond me. So
exactly, I'm just in the oil field.
So who's more excited to get behind the wheel for the 2021 race season, you or Dad?
Me.
What are your, like, have you made up a theme for the car? Are you going to wrap it? What's going to be the color scheme? What is Dad letting you do?
He wants me to do is make a Ralph wrap. I might do.
Like I told you, her nickname was Wreck-It Ralph when she wrecked the golf cart. So I figured, get a hold of Blaine Sherwood and see if we can do a Wreck-It Ralph with her face. And I'll be Fix-It Felix, so. Gonna go hand in hand.
Can you put the Christmas Story Ralphie on there and put, "Hey guys, wait up, come back. Oh guys, come back, please come back." I think that would be really. So what color scheme? That's a big thing, right? You're gonna be probably one of the only girls out there, especially in the NODAC area. Don't really know of anyone else girl wise getting into it. So what color scheme are you going?
We'll probably stick with the white body and just throw some stickers on it, to tell you the truth, for this year.
Hey,
we'll
Keith. See how well. Whoa, Keith. What? You're just the mechanic. She is the crew chief and the driver, okay, here? She makes the decision. You hear me? You tell him, Dad, it's my car, and I'm going to do it. You just write the checks for it, okay? That's what you got to let him know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much ready to go. Just got to throw a number on there for right now if she wanted to, but we got to get a bigger seat. She takes after her mom. We'll leave it at that, so...
Hey, I'm not in any bit getting involved with that. I love the Maddox family, so I am staying no comment there. Gonna let you get yourself into the doghouse, and no reason for you this year. So what track are you think you're gonna make your first race at?
Williston.
All right, so I'm going to plan on coming there, rocking the number 18, which I agree with having the 8 and, you know, the numbers, that is always good. My favorite number is 8, so, but I did want to bring you on to tell you this. Coming from me, myself, Mr. Madbro, we do want to help you out for the 2021 race season. We have not said anything, so that was really the main reason to bring you on, to let you know that we want you to be a part of Madbro Motorsports and Team Madbro. So we will be sponsoring you for the 2021 race season, so let us know what we can help you with in the Groove Podcast and Madbro Motorsports. Definitely, we love seeing the youth of this sport, so definitely wanted to let you know that firsthand. So just let us know, Dad, whatever you guys will need.
Yeah, we will.
So yeah, that's all I had for you. I wanted to save that for
that's awesome. And I know she's like, last night we were ice fishing and Saturday with some buddies over at the ice house, you know, just having good adult drinks and just enjoying the night. And she walked up to somebody that I know really well from the race committee and asked for marketing partner. And apparently he agreed, because did all by herself. So I was like, perfect. She kind of takes after her dad a little bit. I mean, I said she was kind of shy, but she has no problem asking people. So
I wouldn't say she takes after you, because, you know, it'd be easy to say no to you, but yes to her. So, but I mean, hey, it is what it is, right? But no, definitely wanted to bring you on to let you know that, because like I said, we want to keep our youth safe first and foremost, but we want this sport that we all love to continue to grow, to continue to thrive. And without the youth of this sport being able to be out there, and we know, you know, what it takes to get out there, the least we could do from us is support another friend and people that we call family in the racing community.
Sounds good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
See, folks, you don't talk very much.
See, Dad, she's gonna have more marketing partners than you will this year. So, you know, you might have to park the car and just drive the toter just to be, you know. So
that's a joke to my wife. I said, you're gonna, you know, we go to like Minot for a slingshot. I'd probably be pulling up in the toter, pulling out a slingshot, not a race car.
Hey, it wouldn't be any different than what we do with Sladen. You know, I help out Stephen Pfeiffer quite a bit sometimes. And, you know, I mean, there's days where we have the late model and the slingshot. And it's like, what are we racing? Well, more attention's on the slingshot than it is the late model. So that's what it's all about. But, hey, Keith, I'm going to do something that I know you really like. I'm going to break to one of our sponsors that you really enjoy, and maybe we can talk about this one here in a second.
Oh.
ALS Teca Mexican Food, located here in Minot, North Dakota, on the north side. If you want the best and authentic Mexican food located in Minot, North Dakota, please check out the gang up at ALS Teca Mexican Food, located right near the Minot International Airport. Go up there, try one of the burritos, and I guarantee you, you will not leave hungry. The best and authentic Mexican food here in Minot, North Dakota, again, that is LS Teca, for all your dine-in and dine-out needs.
So, Keith, we definitely have to talk about this one. LS Teca Mexican Food, North Hill, Minot, North Dakota. You guys came down for the tour, and they made their taco. I told them, hey, I have some race family here in town, and they made their taco big party platter, and we put it in the trailer, and I would probably say within 30 minutes of dropping that off, that whole platter was gone. So
yeah,
tell us what you think about experiencing El Azteca Mexican food.
I actually enjoyed it. It's really good. I think the next one I come to mind, I mean, you're going to have to go up there and get some more tacos, and then hopefully they sell some Bush lattes, because that could be a good combination there.
It definitely could, but unfortunately, I don't know which way it goes. I haven't really been drinking that much. I kind of stopped drinking there in the end of July, just to kind of see if I could do it for a month, right? I started off as 15 days and it went for a month. And then I went, so that was August. And then I went September, October, November. And I can say probably since that day, I've maybe had 10 drinks. I can honestly say that. So, yeah, I just kind of stopped on a whim. I mean, nothing against anyone that does drink. Hey, I understand it. North Dakota winters are pretty long, even though this winter has not been so bad. So I
wouldn't say for you to drink, but for me to drink.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Oh, I got to still drive you around town.
Yeah. Well, you see my driver.
Okay. Well, I mean, hey, like you said, Bullet Transmission is just right up around the corner from there. So after we leave El Azteca, we can go and see Rob and the gang up there. But I got to ask this question. And you know, here we go, a little bit more controversy. What would you say your favorite track is?
I'd have to. Oh, that's a good question.
Not trying to put you on the spot or make you pick anyone or make anyone mad, but we just want to know, what would you say your favorite track is?
I always had, like, Williston was my favorite track when I started first racing, because it's my home track. That's why, you know, a lot of people go over your home track. That was my favorite track, but I'd say the past 2 years, I'm starting to like Dickinson. It's been kind of a tricky track to read. Their dirt is way different down there. It may look like it's going to be slick, but then you go out there, it's tacked up. And this past 2020 season, I didn't get down to Dickinson very much like I wanted to, but I went to some of their bigger shows they had, and I enjoyed it. I mean, the way Dickinson is, and this past board they had, I thought was, they did okay with their track prep down there, and I enjoyed it. So I just kind of have to go with Dickinson right now as my favorite track.
Okay, and is it different? I know each track may be different, but do you have to change your setup a lot more from racing Minot, Williston versus, you know, Dickinson, Williston? Is there a huge difference in setups there for you, or are they pretty consistent?
This past 2 years, actually, I haven't really changed a whole lot of nothing. It just maybe a shock here and there, maybe a turn. That's about it in a weight jack. But my brother's pretty much got her kind of right where we want to have it at. Maybe a little more tweak into it to make it faster. But right now it's been good, because usually in the years past, I was changing shocks here. I was changing springs. I was throwing everything at it just to make the car work. And now that Kevin kind of stepped into the crew chief lead a bit, he's been kind of getting it figured out for me. So.
All right, and if anyone's listening and you have a question, comment, concern, or anything, please let us know in the comments. But also, for you, and I've been asking this question a lot. In the North Dakota area, most tracks are club ran. Do you think, seeing what we see out of Iowa, out of Arizona, and different parts of the world, do you think that club tracks versus promoter track, which one do you think, I guess, in today's society thrives more? And you can plead the fifth if you want to.
I know, I don't want to plead the fifth on, because it's been brought up before, because I've been on the Williston Basin Speedway board for a couple of years here and there, and that's been a lot of talk lately about going to a promoter ran. Well, in my opinion, I think a promoter ran could be a good thing, but then it could be a really bad thing, because, like, you compare our pay up in North Dakota versus pay down in Iowa, our hobby stocks are making a lot more money up here than they would down in Iowa. Even our stock car drivers and our sport mod drivers and the modified drivers. Because I just think that promoter ran side of it, they're kind of looking at it as business. So if I was a promoter, why would I want to pay these guys $400 or $600, $800 to win on any given night when I can cut it down to like half of that and put more money in my pocket? Because that's a promoter's mentality, is they want to make money on it too. So they wouldn't do it if it wasn't about the money on their side of it, because they ran out of business. But when you come to a club side of it, I think they have a good intention with the club, simply because there's really nobody getting paid. It's all volunteer. So you can always put that money back into the racetrack and then back into the driver. So I would say a club ran track is a lot better than a promoter ran track right now.
No, and I mean, that's good. Like I said, you know, we want to talk about some of the things on this show that, you know, other people aren't talking about and things that other people aren't bringing up or mentioning. And, you know, you get the best of both worlds. You get some people that really like the promoter ran track and say, you know, it gives more on the show aspect. But then the club ran tracks, you hear a lot about that, like we said, here in the North Dakota area. On any given night, this is another question that I like asking people, but on any given night, if you could jump in anyone's car in anyone's class, who would that be? What class would you jump into, and what car, and why?
I guess I'd like to jump into a modified, but I don't know whose car I would jump in. I mean, I think if I jumped in the Big Show's car, I'd probably be swimming in that seat, so I don't know.
The controversy.
Yeah, I know. I ran a sport mod one year, like just for a couple of races, and they're different kind of animal to drive. It's neat. Like, it's felt different to me, I guess. But I think a modified class I'd like to jump into, but I don't know whose car I would jump into, to be exact. So,
all right, here we go. Rapid fire round for both of you guys. Since we have you guys both on, we're going to kind of do this and then wrap up with a couple of questions. So, first question, let's see if we can zoom in here. No, we better do this. First question out of you two, who sleeps the most?
She does.
Well, she's a growing teen, so I kind of gave her that one. All right, who is the most annoying out of you two?
Haley.
I think that's a false answer there, Keith. I think...
No, it's Haley. I'm a likable guy. Everybody likes me, I guess.
Nah.
I hope everybody likes me. If not, I don't care.
Ooh. There you go. Remember that. Remember that, Haley. Next time he says something to you and he's like, whoa, everybody's like, Dad, remember what you said on that podcast?
No.
All right. Forget. Who's going to be the better driver in 2021? Who's going to win more races?
I'm going to say me, because I'm going to try to at least win another feature. So I'll try to get two this year.
Wow. Wow. Way to have faith in your daughter. Putting you on the spot there, Keith. Come on. That was the wrong. That's like your wife asking you right there, hey, honey, can we go and do this? And you're like, no, I'm going to do this.
I do that now.
God, horrible. Horrible man.
My golf cart wrecked.
I did that. Well, okay, let's be honest, let's talk about this golf cart here, because I wrote on your golf cart and it was months before you saw that I even wrote on it with Sharpie. And the fact that I could write on it, I asked you for the Sharpie, I wrote on it and gave you the Sharpie back, and you had no idea what I was doing.
I noticed it, like you said, 2 months later when I was having some Bush lattes in the garage cleaning stuff up. I was like, well, look at that. Some guy rode on my golf cart.
Kevin said, your brother is on here, and we're not going to get in trouble, so I'm going to show it. Boom! This is what he said about you. So I don't know about that one. Kevin, I appreciate it. You should have been on here to give us all the dirt on your brother, but that is okay. We'll have you on talking about how poorly he's driving in the 2021 race season and how good Haley's doing. So, Haley, I got a question. Do you want your uncle tuning your car, or do you want your dad tuning your car?
My dad.
Ooh, sorry, uncle. She's not a fan.
Well, she knows who pays the bills, so.
Well, it doesn't look like it looks like she's got more sponsors than you, so I think we're all doing it. Ooh, shots are being fired here. Shots are being fired here. Kevin, we appreciate all the blue-collar workers out there that are working, even on holidays. You're right, we don't have banker hours, even though I have Mondays off from my 9 to 5, or as I'd say, 9 to 9, because it seems like I am always, when I'm on call, I'm always working. And yes, you can follow me on the Snap Chisel, too, and see all those funny messages that I send out about that. But, all right, here we go. Ketchup or mustard?
Both.
Ketchup.
I like both, but either way. All right, what's another question? Ooh, I got one here. Are the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl?
Ask me that on Saturday.
No.
That's my answer. Ask me on Saturday.
Of course, and then you're going to say, well, if you ask me on Saturday, ask me after the game, not before the game.
No, they play on Sunday.
Oh. Okay. Well, I haven't been following football that much here this year. What was that?
Yeah. I said, I don't think my quarterback got a concussion like you're saying. But.
Oh, fake news, huh?
Yeah, he got tackled pretty hard, though.
But. Yeah, he did. Fake news. But, you know.
It is fake news.
There's a lot of that going on in today's society. We won't dive into that too much. But I had another question for you guys, but now I can't even think of it.
I got a question for you.
You have a question for me.
Where's the What's Up Wednesday video that we did a while back?
I was going to ask.
You're going to use it. I gave permission.
I don't even know if I can find that right now. And if I can, I'll try and bring it. I don't know if I can bring it up on the screen, but I know I can probably have it saved here somewhere. Let's see. I was going to ask you, who does a better What's Up Wednesday, me or you?
I would say Fun Keith. That was Fun Keith.
Okay, let's see. I've got your interview here. With your out of 3 and 4. Let's see if I can bring that up. Oh.
Here, you would have the one from the garage. When you shot by.
I don't know when that was. I don't know if I can bring that up, but if I do, I will edit that into the beginning of the video when I drop the podcast. I'll try to dub it in for you. But without further ado, Keith, why not do it right now for us all before we let you go? Can we get a What's up, everybody? It's your man Slammin' Sam here from the MBMS Mad Bro Motorsports. Come on, Keith, give it to us one time.
Which one do you want me to do? The What's Up Wednesday?
Yeah, any one of them. Your favorite one.
I don't have enough Busch Lights right now to do What's Up Wednesday.
It's Keith. Oh, Keith.
No, that was fun, Keith.
Keith, it is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You shouldn't even be thinking, well, it's afternoon, so. But, yes, you shouldn't even be thinking about drinking Busch Lattes. Jeez.
It's my day off.
Yeah, you got to go to work tomorrow. What are you going to be slamming, Keith, before you, go to bed tonight? Jesus. Come on, Keith.
Well, I could do a sick day tomorrow.
You're telling on yourself. This is Facebook. Everyone can see this live. I don't even have that video anymore. I really need to find that now that you say that.
Posted on your Mad Bro Motorsports page.
Yeah, that was a while ago. I'll have to find it, and I'll post it again for everybody to see the crazy Keith Maddox in the garage. But come on, Keith. We want to see it.
Next time when we go out somewhere, I'll get Fun Keith out.
All right. Well, Keith and Haley, it's been fun. It's been real. Haley, again, welcome to Team Mad Bro. You made it before your dad did. but it's like, I'm playing, Keith. You've been a part of it from day one. But yes, we definitely are excited about that. We're excited for what you guys are going to do in the 2021 2021 race season. Is there anyone that you guys want to thank? Any marketing partners, family, friends, loved ones, anyone before you guys get off of here tonight?
Well, I got to thank my marketing sponsors from 2020 there. Napa to Stanley Ray and Crosby, Jesse Wyrock. He's been with me since day one, 10 years ago, started this old race and stuff. And I got to thank OK Tire out of Williston. Johnny Nelson, he's been with me from day one too. Finish Line Burgers and Brews, Clint. He's always been a supporter of the race community. Bullet Transmission, Rob Stenbull and the guys up on the hill in Minot, North Dakota. Travis Custer for Custme Farms. He's been helping me quite a bit. And my sister-in-law too. She owns Little Rascal Daycares here in Ray. And she has been helping me a lot over the past 5 years. Pretty sure I'm forgetting OPF out of Oklahoma. He's a good friend. My brother actually got him on our race team stuff for that. So, and Jet Racing out of Nebraska. Johnny Sadoff and the crews down there. And I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting somebody else. Oh, my wife. I've got the glare. My wife. She lets me do this stuff long hours in the garage. So.
How could you even almost forget that one?
I forgot to put my sister-in-law on a t-shirt, and I got heck for that.
I would.
I really screwed
it. It's no different than me getting heck about the sweatshirts when I think it was Riley got one color and then you got another one, and holy crap, I got messages about the Madbro Motorsports sweatshirts and just wow. Uh-oh, look, now you're getting in trouble.
No, my brother took that sweater from me.
Oh.
We're out somewhere, I don't know, must have been at the races. I think it just got cold and I've never seen it since.
Smart man. Those things are comfortable.
And I suppose I got to thank Madbro Motorsports too for giving me the opportunity to hop in on this stuff.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, giving you. What was that?
I should have did it Saturday when I was blitz.
No, we've already had the train wreck. If you haven't gone back and listened to the train wreck with Reed Hansen, the 14H machine, the 49 machine of Eric Lautenschlager, and Isaac, the 12 machine, who's stepping up to a modified this year, and Chris Fluffy Ruhr, the fluff machine, the track prep god here in Minot, North Dakota. We had them on, and that was the train wreck. That's kind of what derailed our 2020 podcast in. We kind of slowly went off the deep end after that. Had to bring in the cleanup crew and take a couple of weeks for just personal stuff, and wanted to get 2021 started on the right foot, and here we are. We have you guys on the first episode of season 2 of 2021.
I did forget one more person. I call them the Canadians because they used to live down here and work at the elevator here in Ray. They had to go back home because their company sold out. So, but that's why I see on the back of the car that Trump 2020 sticker paid by the Canadian. That's who bought it. Riley Skardrud? Yeah.
Yeah,
from Canada. I gotta get to Riley and his family because they're always at my garage drinking the beer when I was working on the race car. So
is the Bush Latte the drink of North Dakotians?
Lately, now it has been, I guess.
I mean, everywhere you go, you see the nectar of gods, as we call it. But Keith, it's been real. Thanks for coming on. Haley, congratulations on getting the car here this year. And like I said, we'll be coming that way here sooner or later. So whatever you guys need or whatever you guys want, shoot us a text. And we will, we'll bring that to you guys when we're headed that way. And Keith, before you go, as you always call me, the Black Panther. So Wakanda Pride, my brother, Wakanda Pride.
2.0, man. 2.0, the smaller version.
All right. Thanks, brother. Have a good rest of your day.
All righty. Later.
So, yes, for everyone, that is an inside joke. Keith calls me his Black Panther, Wakanda Pride. So, Like I said, everybody, thanks for, you know, this is the first time we've ever done a live feed here where we bring our guests on so you guys can see them and everything like that. But we wanted to try it out, and why not on a Monday? This is Martin Luther King's Day, so anyone that has a day off, you know, just remember, you know, what that all was for and what the stance was. I don't care what your political views are. Let's come united. You know, there's a lot going on in this world, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But again, everyone, this is the first episode of 2021. Thank you guys for staying tuned to this. Thank you guys for being a part of this. And thank you guys for rocking this journey with us here of talking everything racing. We will get back to the normally scheduled program of dropping a podcast every Thursday. Unless there's a holiday or something falls on that, we will try and do that on another day, either the day before or the day after, whichever that may be. So stay tuned for that. If you want to be a part of Mad Bro Motorsports and In the Groove Podcast, Outlaw Performance ENT, all you need to do is email us here at In the Groove, INTHEE, In the Groove Podcast. That's where you guys can reach out to us or give us a call, 701-720-7996. But without further ado, yeah, everybody, it is your man, Slammin' Sam, the host of In the Groove Podcast, signing out. Till next time, peace. This has been another episode of In the Groove Podcast, brought to you by Mad Bro Motorsports, Powerbit Tools, LS Teca Mexican Food, and the good folks over at Outlaw Performance ENT. If you have not done already, please like us on all of our social medias. That is Instagram, Facebook, and our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button so you can get all the updates to everything we've got going on, and you can stay in the groove and smash that loud pedal.